Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today on Through the Word, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Have you ever been to a Greek wedding? Well, they smash plates there, but the children of Israel's tradition was to be smashing idols, and chapter 12 has to do with keeping themselves far away from idols and smashing anything that comes in the way of their relationship with God. In James Michener's epic historic fiction novel, The Source, he tells a story of a pagan family living in Canaan around this time. The father in the story is forced to sacrifice his own children to a pagan god, and his wife, admittedly and obviously, struggles to understand how the man she loved and trusted to protect her and her children, their entire family, is able to carry out such a barbaric ritual. Her conclusion at the end of the story is penned by Michener in the epic words, "She wondered if her husband would have been a different man had he worshipped a different god." Boom. In verse 1, Moses tells them, "These are the decrees and laws you must follow." This was the point of telling the Israelites to destroy the worship sites on high places. And in this chapter, Moses tells them that they're not to worship there on any high place or any place where people previously worshipped, but instead they would worship in one place. And that one place would be the future temple site in Jerusalem. X, Moses is saying, will mark the spot. Listen to Moses in verses 8 through 11. "You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. Then, to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord." Setting a specific place where God must be worshipped would help ensure that the children of Israel didn't fall into the temptation of idolatry and pagan worship. You see, what you centralize, you control. And this would make darn sure that the pagan worship of the Canaanites would not be mixed in with the worship of God himself. Christian missionaries throughout church history have encountered the blending of paganism with the Christian religion as they sought to spread the faith to foreign lands and to new cultures where the things of the gospel were completely new. Rather than swapping out old gods for the new one, the Christian God, often what pagan tribes do is they just simply add another one. So Jesus, among pagan gods, would be kind of a normal deal. But Jesus shouldn't be absorbed into the pantheon of other gods. Here Moses is saying, "I don't even want you to offer sacrifices anywhere at all in the land until you're at the temple, and that is going to help you keep your nose clean." X marks the spot. Remember that. So the very next verse, verse 12, says, "And there you will rejoice before the Lord your God." That's the point of worship anyways, to bring you joy. But like the man in Michener's story, when he offers his children to a pagan god thinking that will make that god happy, it tells us that who we worship and how we worship makes a huge difference in whether or not we experience joy. Everything in this chapter is a type of roadblock to heartache. God puts as many barriers up so he can keep us from driving off the cliff. If you've ever driven on a mountain road, there's guardrails on the curves, just in case you get overwhelmed by the grandeur of the peaks and rubberneck a bit too much at the scenery. That guardrail will keep you from driving off into open space like Wile E. Coyote and prevent you from discovering you don't bounce quite like a cartoon character. Therefore, in addition to the guardrail of where they should worship, Moses puts up a guardrail about how they will worship in verses 15 through 28. In those verses, he tells them not to eat the blood. Gross, right? But he had to say it. There are two reasons why Moses says don't eat the blood. In the Jewish faith, the blood would become sacred and represent the sacrificial price to be paid for sin. And ultimately, it would point to Jesus, who would cleanse his church from their sin by spilling his own blood on the cross. The second reason is That's what the pagans did, and you weren't to do as they do. They were disgusting pigs who ate the blood of their sacrifices. Okay, maybe that's a little bit too far, but that is where the flavor was. And for the Jews, they didn't care about flavor. They cared about God accepting them. And the blood would be poured out, verse 27, God says, so that the sacrifice of the animal itself, its own life being given, was respected. And the Jews could remember that something innocent had died in their place. Therefore, treating the blood as sacred would keep them apart from the pagan idolatrous worship practices. Verse 29 through 31 summarizes the point Moses is making in this chapter. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We'll do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. Sometimes all of these commands in Deuteronomy seem strict to us. It's like, dude, you're on to me. Deuteronomy is the book that God uses to protect us from ourselves. Because the alternative to obeying God is usually an ugly picture. And that last verse in that passage I just read is a kicker. It says they sacrifice their kids in the fire. Can you imagine a religion that would heat up the bronze hands of a statue named Molech until it was red hot, then place a newborn infant on it and watch it burn to death, burn alive as an offering to a pagan god? They didn't have to imagine it. That was the practice of the people of Canaan. And that god, Molech, he was real. When you understand that God was saving his people from this kind of heartache, and why it was important to cleanse the land from that kind of evil, it puts things in a brand new perspective. Today, you wouldn't have to tell people, hey, don't go into schools and shoot people. You know, don't go murder children. Because today, nobody condones it. But back then, everyone did. God loved his people and didn't want them to ever go through that kind of hell. I wonder, like Michener's broken-hearted pagan mother, whether her husband would have been a better man if he had only served a better God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.